So I think I'm going to title this The Fear to Start. And yeah, that's just the title that I think the Holy Spirit inspired today as I was praying. Because this is a start for me too. So The Fear to Start. And really the inspiration behind this is when God tells you to do a thing, but you feel inadequate. You feel like you can't, you feel like you're not ready, you feel like you don't have enough resources, you're like, I don't have the support that I need, I don't have the finances, I'm not the type, I don't think I'm gonna get the support, you know? And when you know, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And of love and of sound mind and power from where the Holy Ghost, obviously. He is our direction, he is our help, he is the helper, the comforter, the one who actually helps you. And something that God showed me was that if you started with everything that you had, if you started with everything that was enough that you thought you needed, where would he get the glory? All right. That's why Paul says, you know, in his weakness, he's glorified. You know, Christ is glorified in our weaknesses. So most of the time you're never ready to start. You know, that start is never a ready start. Nobody's ready to start. It's all about really just doing what you know you're supposed to do. And I say this carefully, what you know you're supposed to do, meaning that you know for a fact that God has backed up the thing that he said you must start. You're not just out there doing what you think you need to do, right? God finances his plans. God's not about to support you on something that he did not say you must do. He's not about that business. He's about the business of his will. God doesn't care about your plans, he cares about his plans. So what does that mean? It means you need to get in the business of knowing what God's will for your life is, right? But basically, you know, not to get too deep into that, but you need to know what God has told you to do. When I say start, it's the thing that God has told you to do. And you're not going to know what God has told you to do if you don't hear from God and if you don't recognize his spirit and his voice and what he says. But sometimes we overcomplicate it, right? So I'm basically talking about, first and foremost, you know, you're not going to hear somebody if you don't have a relationship with them, right? It's like a friendship. Where does a friendship start? You know, a friendship starts from you getting to know the person. You know, you start off maybe, you know, you don't even know each other in the beginning. And then as time goes, you develop this, hey, I know you, I know your interest, I know what you like. So even when the person shows you body language that, you know, when the person doesn't necessarily speak, there's body language involved. You know what the person's saying. You know that this person is not okay today, right? That's exactly how it is with God. His word says in John chapter 10, my sheep, they know my voice, all right? So he's talking about his sheep. And if you're not in right alignment with God, you're not going to hear what he has for you. Guys, the Bible makes it clear that God has good plans for us, right? Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, plans to prosper you. So that would have to be the start. I have to make that very clear because a lot of us, we want what God has for us, but we don't want him. We don't want, you know, the sacrifice that comes with what he has for us. We don't want the total obedience to him, but we just want what he has for us, right? We use us, let's be honest. We're a society of abusers and users. What do you have for me that can benefit me? But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into all of that. Having to do the hard work, or I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be in total submission because really what I do like is I like that you have this, but I don't want the work that it comes with. I don't want the total submission. And this journey, my friends, listen, this journey, if you're not going to be total submission to God, then you're not with him. You're not rolling with Jesus. All right, you can't be one leg in, one leg out. God wants total submission. What does total submission look like? It looks like asking God what you need to do. It's as simple as that. I never knew God was the God that, you know, you ask specifically, Lord, where should I go to this job? Should I do this? Should I? Until God started to reveal himself to me as that kind of God, right? When you really think about this, when the Bible says that, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for, so I know your purpose. I know your will. I know where you need to go. I know who you need to marry. I know what job you need to be doing. I know where you need to stay. I know the names of your children. I know I know how you're going to age. If he is the God, the Bible says, who knows the end from the beginning, then he knows us in totality. From the minute we're born, our purpose is set out for us, right? Our purpose is complete. God knows exactly, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. What happens is when sin comes, when you decide to not live the life that God has for you, you deviate from the original plan, right? So once you deviate from the original plan that God has for you, you basically are living a life of delay. It's a cycle of going around the wilderness, right? The 40 years in the wilderness, the children went, yeah. It's a cycle of delay. It's a cycle of confusion. Why do you think you always end up depressed? Why do you think you end up in this place like, I feel lost? I don't know what I'm doing. Or you'll start something and it might seem like it's going good. And then, you just don't have joy. You don't have pleasure in that thing that you thought that would give you pleasure, that would give you that joy. So I must preface this by saying that when I talk about starting, I'm talking about firstly, you got to start with Jesus Christ. Let's not get excited about doing projects. And it's so easy to work for God and to do for God, but be in disobedience. Some of us, you don't even realize that just because I'm in a place and I'm working and I'm doing for God and I'm this and I'm doing this, you don't even realize that you're actually in deep disobedience, right? Because the idea that you're working for God has, gives you that thing that, oh, I'm doing the right thing. So anyway, relationship with God is key. From relationship with God, just like any relationship, as I said earlier, it grows. You start to get used to his voice. You start to get used to how he talks to you. You don't depend on somebody else. There's no third party that's gonna tell you. If you're looking to a third party to tell you about your relationship with God, my friend, it's a saying that you're married to this dude or you're married to your wife, and you're waiting for a neighbor to tell you about your wife. It makes no sense, right? The Bible says you're married to Jesus. Once you come into covenant with God, you're married. You're married to him. So if you're married to the person, if you relationship with this person, you gotta know them. You need to know their voice. You need to know how they move. You need to know when they're not speaking, what they're saying, right? So this is exactly how it is with God. And he's given us his Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He's the comforter. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the helper. He's your helpmeet, right? So he helps you in everything that you need. This is why, we have the confidence. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We have faith in God. We have faith that you don't have to know about tomorrow. He's already got your he's plans for you in place. What God normally does is he'll give you the end goal, right? He'll say, I've called you to maybe I've called you to pastor, I've called you to evangelize, I've called you to be a missionary in China, go, But you don't know how that's gonna happen. You just know that God's called me to be a doctor. God's called me to be a basketball player. God's called me to be, I don't know, playing for who or where or doing this or being a CEO of whatever, doesn't matter. And let nobody discount, let nobody take from you what God has called you to do. I don't care who is who. Some people would be, no, God can't say you must do that. No. The Holy Spirit, no. He never, no. My friend, get into the business of knowing that people are going to oppose the will of God. Satan is going to oppose the will of God for your life. Nobody can tell you what God has called you to do. Only God can tell you what you're going to do. And nobody is going to give you the support that you need the way you need it. Why? Because nobody was fashioned to help you like the Holy Spirit was fashioned to help you, right? Only the Holy Spirit, well, he wasn't fashioned, he's God. What I mean is nobody can help you like the Holy Spirit can help you, right? Why? Because he is the helper. So sometimes we're looking for support. Sometimes you're like, oh, my family's not supporting me. I'm not getting the help. And it's like, no, nobody's gonna help you. God's gonna help you. Because he needs to be glorified when you have nothing, when you have no resources, when you started from the bottom, when how do you think any big business started? It started small. It always starts small. So that fear to start really stems in Satan, right? Who opposes the plan of God for your life, who does not want you to get the things that God knows. Because the thing is, Satan's in the family bloodline. He knows. He knows how things have been in the past for your family. And maybe you're going to be the breaker of certain generational curses. Or maybe he sees, I mean, Satan's been around for a very long time, guys. Satan's not a dude that you can undermine, right? But we don't focus on his plots. We focus on what God has for us. So Satan is always in the business of using, especially those closest to you, right? And don't take it personal. This is not a personal, it's not a journey to, you know, the Bible talks about offense, right? He says an immature Christian really is a Christian who's always offended. Always offended, like, you know, this one said this or this one is opposing this. No, 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 no. Let's get into the business of understanding that Satan actually uses our family members, he uses friends, and he uses enemies and all of that, right? So nobody's going to support you the way you need to be supported, but only the Holy Spirit will and can, right? So relationship with God is so key. Starting with Jesus, you know, having that and building on that relationship is so key. Just because God maybe talked to you or said something in a certain season doesn't mean he's saying the same thing in this season. So constant communication with God is key. So, yeah, I say that to say, God was reminding me of Moses, right? I love the story of Moses. I love the Old Testament, y'all. Listen, listen. I love the Old Testament. Why? Because the Old Testament is just, you know, the New Testament is food for the spirit, you know? It's like, it's that food for the spirit that, you know, you walk, we walk by the spirit, you know, because understand that, you know, the disciples were interning, right, in the gospels, you know, from your Matthew, Mark, Luke, what's that one, John, right? They were interning, and then when you look at the the other books, that's when they were really now applying the work of the Holy Spirit. So from the gospels, so from the gospels, where they were really taking note of everything Jesus said, to the point where now, you know, they're applying what the Holy Spirit's saying in the epistles, all the letters that Paul wrote. That is like, it's like now the application of the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing sweeter than that. And that really, you know, I love the New Testament for spiritual, absolute spiritual growth. But the whole Bible is spiritual growth. But what I really love about the Old Testament is when you want to see God in action, right? This is the God that split the Red Sea. This is the God that said to a man that, you know what? You know, put some stones in your bag. I'm going to kill Goliath for you. This is the God that divided Jericho River, you know, when Joshua was standing before it. So I love the Old Testament for that, because if you really want to see who God is and his strength and his power, my friend, get into the Old Testament. There's nothing better, right? It's like visual aid for you. It helps you. So God had a plan for Moses. In that time, Pharaoh was killing all the sons because Pharaoh's jailers, right, overcome by spirit of Satan. And God has this whole plan for Moses, and nobody knows about this plan. When Moses is born, the word says that his mom looked at him, and the mom was like, "Ish, this one is a goodly child." So the mom discerned there was something about this guy that she didn't understand. So she puts her son in the water because now he was too big to hide, right? And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter finds him and that she takes him in. So now Moses is raised in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. And in that 40 years, obviously he's being educated, right? In that 40 years, all these things are happening that he's unaware of. I mean, maybe, but obviously he thought that this is where he's going to end. But Moses, because he had, you know, because God had put purpose in him, Moses couldn't help but, you know, look out for his brothers and sisters. His heart was there. So the Bible says that an incident happened where Moses ends up killing an Egyptian because the Egyptian was striking one of his brothers, and the house of Pharaoh finds out and Moses has to run because now Pharaoh is angry at him. Moses runs and ends up in Midian, and in Midian he meets his father-in-law, right? So the first 40 years of Moses' life, he's raised, you know, he's given the best education when you would think about it, right? In Pharaoh's house, he's given the best education. He's exposed to so much that's going on, right? Divination. I mean, if you know anything about the Egyptians, you know they were messing with witchcraft, magic, and all that stuff, sorcery. But he's given the best, right? He's given the best education. He's given the, you know, the best skill sets. All these things are happening. And then you look at the next 40 years of his life, and now he becomes a father, right? Because now Jethro, his father-in-law, takes him in, and he becomes his father. He becomes a husband and becomes a father. And the next 40 years is just him living this quiet life as a shepherd, right? The Bible says when God called Moses, you know, when God in the burning bush called Moses, Moses was out with the sheep, he was out with the cattle, right? And then God calls him. So God is very, very, I mean, check the timing, guys. 40 years, 40 years, and the last 40 years of his life. God is very intentional about time. You are not to worry about time. Sometimes it looks like God is taking forever. And I know that's a word for someone. God does not take forever, nothing. His timing is precise. His timing is perfect. He's not delayed. He'll never be delayed. He is the Alpha and Omega, meaning he's the start and the finish. If he's the start and the finish, he knows your start and your finish, right? Right now, where you are, God knows exactly when you're going to die. And that's not something you want to think about, right? Because it's like, why would you talk doom and gloom? Listen, it's time to get real. God knows exactly when you're going to die. And if he knows exactly when you're going to die, then he knows exactly how you need to live to the point where when you expire, when you now have to leave this earth, you need to leave with everything. You need to leave having done everything that he called you to do. So God is not delayed with his time. So now the first 8 years of his life, he's done this. He's had the education 40 years. He's had been a family man 40 years. Now it's time to start purpose. So now God finds Moses at the age of 80, and God says to Moses, "I've called you to lead my people out of Egypt," right? Mind you, long time, over 400 years ago, God had talked to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, "I'm gonna your people are gonna be, you know, I'm gonna make you the father of nations, but your people are gonna be in captivity for 400 years." And I'm sure Abraham didn't even understand that, because Abraham's just out here waiting for a son. He's like, "Lord, you promised me a son. I don't understand this whole thing about 400 years, but okay." Right? God still gives the prophecy, right? And the prophecy now comes to pass, and Moses is the man. 400 years later, Moses is the man. Now he has to lead the children out of Israel. Guess what Moses said to God? "Oh Lord, you know I can't speak. You know I have, you know, my I've got a speech impediment. I don't have this, I don't have this." Because can you imagine for 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, he probably was this confident guy, but now from that point he becomes this shepherd boy, really. And he lives this, you know, I don't want to say sedentary lifestyle, but really a quiet life, right? You know, life that's not much. He's just staying with his father-in-law. And God is now saying, "Now you're ready to start." "What? I'm ready to start what? You know I can't speak, Lord. How am I going to speak? I mean, seriously, nobody had done what Moses did. The children of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. And now God is saying that, you know, Moses must lead I mean, nobody had done this. And that's another thing, right? Some of us, God's telling you to do things that nobody has done. What is it called? It's called breaking generational curses, right? Breaking generational curses in society, breaking family generational curses, breaking generational curses in your nation. And you'll never, you know, I mean, if you never start, you'll never know what you've been called to do. You never know the outcome of it. And Moses couldn't speak well. What Moses didn't know was that he was actually prepared. God's like, "I don't know, Moses." You know, God got so fed up with Moses that he ended up saying, "Okay, is that not Aaron, your brother? Go with Aaron." Because God knew that, okay, if he can at least start with Aaron, right, then he'll take over. And now we see Moses starting. He was so scared. The Bible says that Aaron was the one who talked. So Moses meets Aaron, his brother, and tells him that God said this and God said this and God said this. And obviously Moses is shy. He's timid, probably. You can imagine his confidence is so low because he's just like, "I don't know what God thinks I'm going to do because I can't do this," right? But God knows that God sees the Moses who's going to go on the mountain for 40, for 40 days fasting and praying for his people. God sees the Moses who's going to see the glory of God. God sees the Moses who's going to part the Red Sea. God sees the Moses who, at the end of 120, he's the one who would have led the children now, you know, to the point of them about to enter the promised land. God sees that Moses. Moses doesn't see that Moses. Obviously, he doesn't see that Moses. Why? Because Moses is just a person, right? Exactly how we are. You don't know the thing that God, you don't know why God has said you must do the thing you must do, right? You don't see the end. He's the God who sees the end from the beginning, right? So when God says start, it's because he already knows the finish. He knows the end, right? It's because he already knows how the thing is, who you're going to become in the process of that. The things that you, every great man and woman of God, I can imagine, it was never easy to start. No business is easy to start. No, anything is easy to start, but you're not going to know until you do. So now Moses is in that moment, doesn't even know that he's about to become the Moses that we know today, that great man who split the Red Sea, right? He doesn't know he's about to become the Moses who, you know, interceded for the children of Israel. He doesn't even know he's going to be a man of war. Moses was a man of war, Moses did not play. Moses was an intercessor. Moses was a prophet. Moses did not play, right? Moses had a desire for God that was so unmatched. He did not see that Moses, but God saw that Moses. And, the Holy Spirit inspired me. It's like, you just need to start. Stop with the excuses. Start. Start with what you have. That's what God said. Start with what you have. It's not going to get any fancier than that, I mean, you're waiting to get that qualify. You're waiting for someone to say, now I prove you to be a pastor. My friend, listen, what God appoints, he anoints, right? If God has said you must start, nobody can tell you to, this is why I say you need to really have your relationship with God. Because if you're waiting for people to approve you, and God and Satan is setting up people to not approve you, you're gonna come across all these not even hurdles, all these things that just bar you. And you're gonna sit there never starting because you're like, well, where I am, I can't start. Nobody's given me the approval. Apparently, I have to start. This is why I say it's so key to have a relationship with Jesus. It's so key to really be very intentional about hearing the Holy Spirit. Because if he's your helper, he's your helper from A to Z, right? Meaning that how you go about the things you go about, he's going to help you. If God says, I want you to go to this place, submit yourself to this ministry, stay there. I know how I'm going to help you from that place. Do that. Don't now think that, well, this doesn't look like God, blah, blah. So nobody can tell you your life. Nobody can tell you your purpose. Only the Holy Spirit can. So it's so key to get the guidance from him, because whatever he says you must do, he's also going to show you how. As I said, God normally will show you the end product. A lot of the time, you know that God has said you must pastor. A lot of men out there, you know yourselves, you know God has told you to pastor. But it doesn't sound like something that makes sense, because where you are right now, you don't see pastor. You don't even know scripture. You probably don't even see yourself talking before a crowd. Like, what are you going to say? Right? Some of you know God has said start a ministry. I mean, what does that even mean, start a ministry? If I had to start, people would mock me. I don't even know anything. Right, some of you, God has said, do this and do that. Nobody else can tell you to do those things, right? But God is going to show you how. So you're going to see the end product, but you're not going to know the journey how. Now, the journey how is where obedience is, where relationship is built, right? So the relationship is built by you being steadfast with God. And that's a whole nother conversation, right? Where you now need to establish your relationship with Christ, you need to learn to hear the Holy Spirit speak. When the Holy Spirit says this, you know that it's Him, right? Everybody else can be against you, but Holy Spirit, you've said this, you've confirmed it to me, and I know it's you, so I'm doing that. Some of you, maybe God is telling you to move to a place that you never would have thought, study a thing you never would have thought, right? Nobody else can confirm that to you but God Himself. So I thank God because He gives us the strength, right? As you said, the Bible makes it very clear that blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. When you think trust, you think Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, cursed is the man who makes arm his strength. What does that mean? A curse is a limitation. If you are thinking that you're depending on yourself and your own resources, and you depend on how you, and you know that, okay, I've got this sorted. My salary is going to clock in, and then I know this. No, God says it's a curse. That's why you're probably going to only end up at that job, because that's all you focused on, right? Sometimes these curses are not rocket science. It's like, just look at that. All you're looking at is your job, so that's all you're going to do. That's where you're going to stay. So it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. It's so important to keep, you need to hear the Holy Ghost, because how are you going to have direction? How are you going to know how to get to the goal if you're not hearing from Him? Yes, so I leave you. And we close on that note. Thank you and enjoy your day.